Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
I think we can start then.
Yeah, I think we're there, yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Okay. So thank you for being here. I have already met some of you for Fred Film Radio interviews. Thank you again for sharing your experiences with us. I hope you enjoyed the interviews. Today we're going to talk about accessible cinema, films for all. This is the second workshop dealing with translation. I guess you have already met Annalisa Sandrelli for the translating films workshop. I guess you mainly focused on subtitling, right? Okay. Well, today we are going to talk about translation as well, but from a different angle, from a different perspective. That is, when we want to make films accessible to a broader audience. When we talk about translating films, as you saw with Annalisa, I guess, we are mainly referring to interlingual translation, so from a language to another. So when we want to translate the original audio of a given film for an international audience, for example, this is interlingual because it's between two different languages. Today we are going to deal specifically with intersemiotic translation. So when we move from a semiotic code to another. So we are going to see when we move from the auditory code to the written code and from the written code to the auditory code to make films accessible to a broad audience. As you know, this workshop is sponsored by Subtitle Ltd. I think that we have already mentioned this with some of you during the interviews. Subtitle is a pioneer in the provision of access services for film festivals, cinema, but also television. And so today we are going to have a look at these accessible services together, specifically focusing on blind and deaf people. So blindness and deafness. Well, on Fred Film Radio we have a program, a radio program, called Accessible Cinema. Let me see if this works. No? Accessible Cinema. This program aims to inform our listeners about the status of the media industry, focusing specifically on accessibility and inclusion. We have many guests and experts coming from different countries and different fields. So if you want to have a look at this program and listen to some episodes, you find all the episodes on Fred's website. These are some of our guests. And among them, I'd like to mention Elena Di Giovanni. I think you have already heard her name. She has been the leader of these two workshops, Translating Films and Accessible Cinema, for many, many, many years. This year she couldn't make it in Venice, but she'll be back next year. And I hope you'll have the chance to meet her. So, what's on our plate today? We are going to try to answer these questions. But feel free to come up with your own questions. So feel free to share your thoughts, ideas, opinions, maybe also personal experiences with blind and deaf people or with accessibility in general. This should be an interactive chat, okay? So let's try and share our thoughts all together. So the first question is what, that we are going to try to answer is what. What is accessibility? What is accessible cinema specifically? What does it mean? The second one is why. Why is making cinema accessible so important, especially today? Then we have where and when. So what are the main contexts in which we can find accessible cinema, accessible films, audiovisual products in general? Last but not least, for whom? So who is our audience? Who are the users? Who are the people who have the right to enjoy accessible films and cinema in general. Mm? And I'd like to start actually from the very last question. So, for whom? Mm? Who are our users? Who is the audience? And I'd like to share with you some statistics, just to give you an idea. These are very updated 2020 statistics from the World Health Organization. Around 10% of the world's population, which means 750 million people, live with a disability. And here I'm including physical disabilities, cognitive disabilities, sensory disabilities in general. As for sensory impairments specifically, one in six people worldwide is affected by some form of sensory disability, which means more than 1 billion people, or 15% of the world's population. Let's focus on blindness and deafness, because today we are going to focus mainly on deafness and blindness. Maybe you know that there are varying degrees of vision or hearing loss and vision or hearing impairment. We have blind people, but also partially sighted people. We have deaf people, but also hard of hearing people. Some people may have vision or hearing loss from birth. Others may develop sight or hearing loss later in their life. So different degrees of sensory impairments. So again, these are 2020 statistics. At least 2.2 billion people have a vision impairment in the world. I'm including, of course, blind and partially sighted people. 1.5 billion people, as for deafness, live with some degrees of disabling hearing loss. I'm including, again, deaf people and hard of hearing people. So these are our users for accessible cinema. And unfortunately, the average age of the population is growing. So these numbers, unfortunately, are going to increase because of an increase in the share of the population aged 65 years or over globally. So these numbers, again, unfortunately, are going to increase in the coming years. The numbers of deaf and hard of hearing people and blind and partially sighted people. So let's move to why. Why is accessible cinema so important, especially today? Well, we have, first of all, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities of the United Nations, which states that persons with disabilities have the right to participate fully in all aspects of life, including, of course, entertainment. So, for example, cinema, but also theatre and the arts in general. Then, as for Europe specifically, we have the European Accessibility Act. According to this, persons with disabilities, again, have the right to enjoy more accessible services and products, including accessible films, accessible cinema, accessible audiovisual products in general. How can we make films accessible to these user groups, at least? Deaf people, partially sighted people, blind people, hard of hearing people, so we are focusing on deafness and blindness again. I'm going to share with you an excerpt from a film entitled The Interviewer. You'll notice that something has been added to the original audio track and also to the image. So you'll see some written additions, and you'll also hear an additional narrative voice. So we're going to watch this together, and then I would like you to share your thoughts. What are these additions, in your opinion? How can we define them? Why are they there? Are they helpful somehow? Are they enough? what do you think in general? Okay, so let's see if it works. Is there the technician, or is he away? Okay. I don't know. I mean, I didn't touch anything, so.
But is it on your laptop screen? Or?
I mean, I can see my laptop screen, but I can't see the laptop screen there.
Yeah.
And the mouse is working there, but it's not working
here. But it's not
here.
On there. I think you can drag it, but
yeah,
you have to find out
which
direction.
Yeah.
Let me see if we can
it's
maybe...
It's not here reflecting, it's divided.
So, we are going to have a look at this, and then we'll discuss
this. A swiping advertising panel on a city bus stop changes its display to the logo for Bus Stop Films, Inclusive Filmmaking. A man holding a briefcase inhales deeply. The interviewer. Lift doors open and the man, who's in his 30s, straightens his grey tie and steps out into a sleek reception area. There's a woman sitting at a desk adorned with an expensive floral arrangement, and she looks up and smiles.
Hi, Tom Sam. I'm here for the interview with Mr. Dexter.
Yeah, sure thing. Just take a seat and he'll be out in a minute.
Tom sits on an armchair in the nearby waiting area and glances out the window for a moment before taking a folder from his briefcase. Another young man in a suit is sitting opposite him, toying with an MP3 player.
The narrative voice, the woman describing, and the yellow subtitles, what do you think?
I think the color yellow for subtitles just to be more visible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's I guess it's for visually impaired.
Yeah, the...
Also the...
You mean the narrative voice?
Yeah, but mm-hmm. also the subtitles.
The subtitles for... deaf and hard of hearing people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed by the narrative voice, but also I think like this was a slow scene. How do you do this with like fast films?
My exact thoughts.
Yeah. Must be so complicated.
It is. What about, let's try to focus on the narrative voice first. What do you think about it?
Very descriptive.
Very descriptive.
I closed my eyes for a while and I was like just listening. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh yeah, that's the room she's describing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we can notice the difference between what's the voice of the narrator and what's the voice of the dialogue,
mm-hmm.
and etc.
Yeah, but at some point, like, it didn't quite describe the Jones or the cuts. Like, she said something about the bus station and then... a man holding the briefcase, and then he was already in the lobby, but didn't said anything about the... I think she mentioned the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like very descriptive. It's just, I'm still thinking about like how can...
When you say very descriptive, you mean too descriptive?
The right amount, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't like over-explain anything, but she said the important things, like he sighed, he did this, he did that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
So the voice, the woman is saying what is describing what is happening. Mm-hmm. For example, a man steps outside the lift. So what is happening on screen? But she also gives us a description of the characters. A man in his 30s. So not just what is happening on screen, but also for example, the physical aspect of the characters. But as you said, it also provides us with additional information. For example, the name of the distributor at the very beginning, and the title of the film, The Interviewer, because these are visual elements. Otherwise, it would be impossible, for example, for a blind person to know that there is, at that precise moment, the name of the distributor and the title of the film. So this is called audio description. This is called audio description. And it starts before, if you want, the beginning of the film, with a description of, for example, the distributors or the producers or the director or the title of the film itself. What about the yellow subtitles? Are they different from the subtitles you discussed, I guess, during your first workshop?
Just the color, and at some point they also describe the site or these micro things.
Are there differences?
This describes where the sound is coming from, like the woman on the radio and things like that.
So they are a transcription of what the characters are saying, okay? So basically they show the spoken content of the film. It's not a translation, because it's English and English. But these subtitles also include sound effects, speakers' IDs, for example. I remember the woman on iPod to make the deaf audience understand that the person who is speaking at that precise moment is not in the room, but it's on the iPod. So these subtitles are meant for people, for deaf people and hard of hearing people, and the narrative description, called audio description, is for blind people and partially sighted people. We can say that thanks to these additions, we can make a film accessible. So these are some of the parts where we have the audio description. So when the woman describes what is happening on screen, a man steps outside the lift, but also the physical aspect of the characters, for example, a man in his 30s, the distributor, the title, because they are visual elements. And then we have the subtitles in yellow. So we have the transcription of the dialogues, but also we have sound effects, and we have a description, let's say, of the speaker's ID. So in this case, woman on iPod. So, as I said, subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing, and audio description. These are options that you can select, for example, on DVD, if you want to add an additional audio track, as for the audio description, and if you want to select the subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing. So, let's start with the subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing. First of all, are you familiar with them? Any personal experience with them? Have you ever worked with on a film with, subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing? Have you ever studied a film with subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing? No.
No. Okay. Also, if you like watch a movie on Netflix or something, it also has the additional description of like its size or the same way as here.
Yeah. And they normally put the sounds, even if you just like blind translation,
So these are the subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing, and let's have a look at the basic principles of subtitles for deaf and hard of hearing. Well, they are, of course, synchronized with the media, so the text can be viewed at the same time the words have been spoken. Typically, they can be turned on or off by the user on a DVD, but also, for example, on television, you have the option if you want to turn the subtitles on or off. As I said, traditional subtitles are intended for a foreign film, so for a foreign audience. So you are translating from a language into another. So for people who don't understand the original language of the film, for example, here in Venice. Subtitles for deaf and hard of hearing are meant for deaf and hard of hearing audiences, of course, and are written in the source language of the video, but we may also have foreign language subtitles for deaf and hard of hearing. As for when and where, so the main contexts in which we can find them, we have, of course, cinema, but also television. They are required by law for most video programming in the United States, and in the UK. They can, as I said, be activated by the user if they want to see them or not. But they are also available on streaming internet videos. For example, Netflix does provide SDH, this is the acronym, in a number of languages. So, SDH can also be used to make other contents accessible, not just cinema, not just television, not just audiovisual products, but also live shows, conferences and meetings, and training courses. In this case, we have live subtitles, and they are created in a different way. Maybe Annalisa mentioned the respeaking. I don't know if she mentioned it. They are created through respeaking, so they are created live. It's a different, completely different type of subtitles, but it's just to let you know that we can find them in other contexts, not just for cinema and audiovisual products in general. Okay, let's move to audio description. I am an audio describer myself, so I'm going to share with you an excerpt from this film, this animation film, Frozen, and then you can again tell me what you think about the audio description, about the narrative voice. Let's see.
From the creators of Tangled and Wreck-It Ralph, Disney. A carrot-nosed coal-eyed snowman shuffles up to a purple flower peeping out of deep snow.
Ooh, hello!
He takes a deep sniff. His nose lands on a frozen pond. A reindeer looks up and pants like a dog. Seeing the reindeer slip on the ice, the snowman smiles and moves towards him. Though actually, he's running on the spot. The reindeer falls on his chin. The snowman uses his arm as a crutch. The reindeer paddles his front legs. Head over heels, the snowman crawls along the ice. The reindeer does the breaststroke. The snowman rolls his body, but flips onto his back. The reindeer's tongue sticks to the ice. The snowman holds his head. Twig arm and reindeer lips tug at the carrot. The carrot flies off and lands in soft snow. The reindeer goes after it with snowman and his body parts hanging on his tail. The snowman puts himself back together again and glumly contemplates his noseless state. The reindeer jams the carrot back in place and pants like a proud puppy. The snowman pats him in a stiff thin arm, then goes to sneeze. He grabs his nose with both hands. His head shoots off. Frozen, coming this winter in 3D.
Okay. This was a bit quicker than the first.
Yeah.
To try to answer your questions.
Yeah, yeah, and it still works. So.
Yeah.
So, what do you think?
I actually noticed that it's quite faster, and that they're trying like to do.
You mean the pace of the narration?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's actually okay, and it's like you listen it to like you would listen an audiobook. And so it's really interesting. I mean, I have to say honestly that I didn't imagine that. Oh, the description is really like interesting to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it added like a layer of humor that it was surprising to me, because I thought it would be like monotone and like just this and this happens, but it like the it understood the concept.
Mm-hmm. You mean the kind of voice?
Yeah.
Or you mean the choice of words?
The choice of words and the voice and like the paste. It's like it could have been like just made like for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the sound like from the film, from the video also helps like the music and everything, and with the voice it's actually a pretty nice package.
And the storytelling was much more like fairy tale like comparing to the first example.
Mm-hmm. Why?
What do you think? I think like her narration and the words itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe because of the users.
Yeah, yeah.
These are mainly are gonna be mainly children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other ideas or differences that you detected between the first example and the second one in terms of audio description again? Was it too fast?
Yeah, it was a bit fast, but I think it made sense in the scene because that was one of the motives. So if they wanted to pass on the experience and the feeling,
mm-hmm.
I think that the fastness makes total sense.
The scene is fast, and so the narration is fast as well. Mm-hmm.
I also think if you watch it at a cinema and you hear it a bit more louder, the descriptions and your low like distractions, you can.
Well, it would be super cool to be able to do that, but it's not like that. I mean, it's not going to be on a cinema audio description plus the film itself.
Yeah, they don't do that. Anyway,
because you have headphones then.
Yeah.
Oh, it's headphones. Oh, well, I guess you can hear better then as well. Oh.
And do you have headphones with like the entire soundtrack and audio description?
Or yes.
Yeah. Okay. Not that you can combine it with.
Well, it depends actually. But you have, for example, the original audio track on screen, and plus through your headphones, you can hear the audio description, just the narrative voice of the audio description.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, because of the, I mean, other people maybe don't want to hear the audio description, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what about poses, the original sounds of the film? How do the descriptions combine with them, or what do you think?
I think it worked. At first I wasn't used to it. I was like, oh, I'm going to hear her voice and his voice. It was a little disconnect for me. But then it flowed very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No overlapping.
Yeah. And I think it like with subtitles and the audio description is a bit, even for us that can hear and see, it's a bit of getting used to. I think even for subtitles people in the beginning can like be like, I don't want that. But then like...
Yes, I want to, you know... play with my dog while watching the film,
exactly.
So I can't read the subtitles.
Exactly, and I think we just get used to it, probably one day, like every film could have everything together, and it wouldn't bother us.
Okay, so, audio description is a narration added to the original soundtrack, and it provides visual details that cannot be understood from the main soundtrack alone. So mainly actions, body language, but also costumes, a description of the characters out as we saw in the first example, and also as you. So, in this example, we also have a description, let's say, of the distributors and producers, and again, the title of the film at the very beginning, because they are just visual elements. So, we have to mention them. So, the description also includes the description of on-screen text, not just the description of the action, of body language, of what is happening on the screen. Why do you think that audio description is important for blind and partially sighted people? These are some thoughts about film and vision. What do you think about them, and what do you think about audio description for blind and partially sighted people? I would like you to focus specifically on observers can act, making choices from the dramatic, pictorial, narrative, musical, and environmental materials that present themselves in films. The blind and visually impaired can also act and make choices based on the guidance provided by descriptions. What do you think? And how can we do that? Because we are providing them with a description. We are describing. So how can they still be able to make their choices? I don't know if...
In the images, they imagine...
It's a bit philosophical, but...
they imagine the images.
Sorry?
In imagining the images.
Mm-hmm. And... So how can we do that? I mean, with our description, how can we let them free to make their choices if we are providing them with our description? What do you think?
Well, I think it's like when you read a book and you have everything is written there, but you imagine still everyone who reads the same book will imagine it differently.
Different things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other thoughts?
Yeah, maybe some descriptions don't have to be totally specific, like the most specific ever. So there is still freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the descriptions should pass like multiple filters. I mean, to be reviewed by multiple persons before.
To be reviewed by other people, you mean? By whom, for example?
That's a good question.
There is an answer, so try to guess.
By listening to them? I mean, they know how descriptive they want their films to be, in a sense. I mean, everyone is different, but also I think by listening... You can
so you mean a blind person or a partially sighted person as a reviewer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do that.
Yeah.
So we do that.
But also someone
we
who
always
can't
do
see.
That. Do that. Sorry.
Also by someone who can't see, because you have to compare it to the actual images, I think. So
well, actually, normally we all audio describers are sighted people, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have blind and partially sighted reviewers who can revise our work to be sure that what we write does make sense for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about subjectivity and objectivity in the descriptions?
Yeah, I think it shouldn't be too subjective. Either just the script allowed it to be. But for example, we wouldn't see in a description like a beautiful man or something like that. I think that's more subjective and it doesn't really add anything to the story. Unless the script asks for it, I think we shouldn't really do that subjective.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a normal film, without subtitles and all that, we don't have that. The man can be beautiful for me, but cannot be beautiful for anybody else. So, yeah.
So we have to use our power of observation, but not too much.
I would say
so. We have to select only those elements which are essential for the comprehension of what is going on screen. Audio description must be seen as something that interacts with the original audio track. So it's usually added during existing pauses, in dialogue, sounds, or music, or songs. This is why it is particularly challenging to describe animation films, because we have a lot of dialogues, we have a lot of songs and music and stuff like that. As for subjectivity, objectivity, I don't know if you remember, but in this second excerpt, that from Frozen, the snowman, the description says, the snowman is smiling. The description doesn't say the snowman is happy. So we describe maybe the facial expression of a character, but not his or her feelings. What about the amount of descriptions in this example? What do you think about the amount of descriptions? Too many? Too few? What do you think?
I think it's good because they describe actually the visual aspects. Mm-hmm. They don't describe the subjective things like the snowman is happy because this also a person who sits in the room and is not disabled mm-hmm. will watch the movie and will see the snowman smiling but will not know is he happy or is
happy
he
or not
smiling mm-hmm. like this, and I think that's a good start for the quality.
Mm-hmm. So the blind audience has to rely on words, so the words of the original soundtrack, the original sounds, the original music, but also silence is important to create their own links in their mind, their own feelings, their own images. So we are there as describers to deliver, not to interpret. We are there to give the audience the opportunity to enjoy the film, and the audience is not there to listen to our audio description. It's not an audio book. It's an audio described film, which is a different thing. So let me show you some basic principles. We have already mentioned some of them. It's an objective narration, as we said, so it's always a third person narration. It's not about us, but it's about what is happening on screen, so a third person narration. And it is about what is happening right now, so present tense. Sentences should not be too long or complex because, as I said, the audio description must help our users. They are not there to listen to our audio description. They are there to enjoy the film, as everyone else. Yes, avoid subjectivity because, as I said, the description should be as objective as possible because blind and partially sighted people have the right to create their own images, their own feelings about the film. Prioritize relevant information. This because we also have time constraint, as we said before. So the description should be added during existing pauses with no overlapping, possibly. Prioritize relevant information also because if you describe something, you are giving a particular relevance to that something. So you just need to describe what is relevant for the comprehension of a given film, of a given scene, of what is happening on screen in general. Then we have avoid the cinematic terms. Why?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, like, how do they, if there's like a flashback and it's done by some kind of a visual.
For example, black and white, something like that?
Anything. Or it's just something, maybe something that's like very visible. I don't know. I mean, maybe in the beginning of the film when you still don't know the whole narrative, like, and you can place stuff. How do you describe that?
If the film is like that. So if the film is constructed so that the audience doesn't understand immediately where we are, for example, the same applies to blind and partially sighted people. So we are not there to help them. I mean, we are not there to help them understand what other people don't understand. You know what I mean? So they are like others. We are not there to help them understand more in terms of, you know, plot or twisties or something like that.
I was just thinking how could a film like Memento can be.
But do you, sorry,
no, it's fine, go ahead.
Do you never describe the camera movements? Because it says, avoid cinematic terms, and I'm totally see, like, you cannot say there's a vertigo zoom on someone because people don't understand it. But then, I don't know, if there's a specific cinematic movement, you just never...
We describe what we see without using cinematic terms. For example, flashback. If there is a black and white scene, we say...
Well, you say that that's
black and white. Okay, yeah.
Because blind people know what is going on out there in the world. They know that black and white may be used to describe and to represent, for example, flashback or past situations in films. So...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or if there is a close-up, we just say the face of the character is blah, blah, blah. We don't use, you know, cinematic terms.
You just describe it deeply.
We just describe what we see.
Yeah.
Well, we don't use cinematic terms because, first of all, because we are not there to create a technical text.
Yeah.
We try to describe what we see, and that's it. And as for, as I said, complex parts in the film, we are not there to help them understand more than anyone else.
That was my question.
The same? Okay. Okay. Questions? We can go on then. Okay, context of application, we have already mentioned some of them. So we may have a portable reception system through which we can hear the audio description. Sometimes we can also have these audio descriptions online, so you can download them. And sometimes before the film itself, so before the description itself during the film, we may have what we call audio introductions. The audio introductions set the scene, we can say. So, for example, they give us the plot. They give us a description of the main characters before the film itself. So the audience can listen to these introductory descriptions before the film itself, also at home. So that they can have an idea of what the film is about, for example, of the main characters, of, you know, the main elements that describe and represent the film. Okay, now, I'd like to share with you this video so that we can try something together, if you want. So I'm going to share, first of all, just the audio track, the original audio track of an excerpt from a film. So we will all be blind. Just the audio track, the original audio track. The film is this one from Giornate degli Autori 2020. I would like you to focus on the audio track first and try to think about what is happening, and then I'll show you the video as well, so everything, and then we can try and think about a possible audio description for that scene. We will just try to focus on the main problems that we may find as audio describers, but also as blind audience with that particular scene. Let me see. Have you ever watched this film?
No.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
face to me. They already hate it.
Now it's just the audio track, so you will see no images.
Whoa, whoa, what the fuck are you? Whoa, hey!
What do you want?
I'm looking for Beatrice Beauchamp.
She's not here.
When will she be back?
I haven't the slightest notion.
Look, I don't mind waiting for her outside, but I do intend to speak with her.
Suit yourself. She might not be back for hours.
I got nothing but time.
Yeah, it's not a lot of this. Don't disturb anything.
Person without audio description. What do you think?
Confusing.
Yeah. I know.
I remember there's even a part that I was so lost, I didn't know if he was getting in the car or if he was in the water.
Yeah.
The sound was so similar.
Yeah. This is what cinema is for blind people with no audio description. This is why accessible cinema is so important.
Whoa, whoa, what the fuck are you? Whoa, hey!
What do you want?
I'm looking for Beatrice Beauchamp.
She's not here.
When will she be back?
I haven't the slightest notion.
Look, I don't mind waiting for her outside, but I do intend to speak with her.
Suit yourself. She might not be back for hours.
I got nothing but time.
Yeah, it's not a lot of this. Don't disturb anything.
Just a quick question. Now that you know that we have a rifle, what about the final gunshot? Do you think that it's this woman? Or you remember that there was a gunshot at the very end?
Yeah, it was so random.
It could have been anyone.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Western.
Yeah,
hey. That's what I thought.
So what do you think?
I still
is there any difference? Is there any difference between just the audio track and audio track plus something else?
Yeah.
What are the main challenging points that you detected?
I think the main thing for me was that I did not know a thing about the location. I was like completely lost about where we are. I actually thought it was in a store. I don't know why. But
someone has mentioned the car.
Yeah,
no car so far.
I thought they were outside because you can hear like the bird.
Yeah, the bird.
But I don't know, is the sound a bit muffled? Something sounds weird. Even though when they're out, it's not sounding good. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, this is from YouTube.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And the third person who came from nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what she was. That's also challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I didn't got that he was naked taking a shower.
No.
Yeah.
I thought it was like in a lake or something.
I thought it was
on. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If the third person doesn't say anything, you really cannot know that there's anybody else.
And she's quite an important character because. Okay, so, I think that's it. It's 11, right? That we have to stop or not?
If you have like 15 minutes, it's okay.
I have. I don't know if they have.
We do.
Okay, so shall we try and start thinking about an audio description draft for this scene? Where would you start, first of all?
The sentence.
The very first sentence. Do you want me maybe to?
Yeah.
This is the first thing that we see. Do you think that we have to describe that or not?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So all the, those like credits, like with the publicity and all of that, you describe that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We read them.
Yeah.
Do you also do the end credits, like full end credits?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Because it goes
that's
very
a lot.
Fast.
Well, it depends. I mean, not everything, of course, but the main...
Not the main things, yeah.
Not yeah.
Not thanks to and then a list of thousands.
Yeah.
No. So, where do we start?
That's Friend Forever.
Okay. Would you add something or not?
Maybe like say title.
Sorry?
Do you have to say like title?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Do you think that visually that's enough?
Or you say BFF, Best Friends Forever.
Okay. Do you think that blind people live in a black and white world? Shall we say something about colors?
Is there time for it?
Yeah.
Do you say
especially that? For this very first part, we can, you know, make the string as we want because the film hasn't started yet. So,
yeah,
is color not is a cinematic expression doing that color?
White letters on a black screen. On a black background, something like that.
I think that's not important.
Sorry?
I think that's not important to say.
Do you think it's not important?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do that with the last title track we saw with the accessibility for making? Did they read up? I don't remember if they did.
And about colors, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, blind and partially sighted people need colors in their life, even if they are blind, because otherwise everything is the same. So if they have maybe just watched another film with the beginning of the film is colored. Now the film begins with black screen, white letters. We have to say that. Otherwise, everything is the same.
For this, it's simple because it's just three letters. But for Disney thing in.
You mean, for example, the setting, the costumes?
Oh.
Well, you have to, for example, if we have different characters, it's good to say the man with the red shirt, the woman with the blue shirt, and so on and so forth. Otherwise, again, everyone is the same.
But I actually have a question from what you said about Disney stuff. Like in the beginning, all most of the Disney films have the castle and then the star and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you also describe that?
Yep.
Wow, okay. So you also said the color.
Remember the beginning of our first example? We see scrolling, blah, 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 I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Okay, so we have to start from...
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have to say the colors then?
Yeah, we have to say...
white letters on black stuff.
Yeah. Well, then...
Who the fuck are you? Whoa, hey!
These first seconds.
But it's really hard because she starts talking at the very first moment.
So how would you do that then?
Before, while the title is still on, we just put the title and then we start.
Yeah, okay. We can start before the original sound itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that we can anticipate some elements, some visual elements.
Yes.
And then the film starts. Mm?
Yeah.
Okay. And what would you say?
Maybe like...
Prioritize your your elements. Mm? What would you say first?
Woman walks fast.
Where are we?
Yeah, was it?
Oh,
we're outdoors. Forest? I don't know.
Outdoors? Outdoors where?
Garden.
Garden? Is it a garden? Are we sure about that?
No.
Outside.
But there's a door, a house.
We're gonna see the
scene.
It's
true, but
yeah.
Yeah,
we have very few seconds, guys, so we
there's
have
a gun.
To be.
There's a gun. We should say there's a gun.
There is a gun where?
In her hands.
In her hands?
Pointing at him.
If we use a pronoun,
yeah.
we are supposed to say something before, because we can't say to a blind person, her, who is her.
Yeah, we don't know her, yeah.
A woman with a gun walks in a forest. Well, no, walks outside.
And we need to say her age.
Woman in her 30s.
Yeah. Maybe,
yeah.
Yes. Especially because then, at the very end, we have another woman. So we have to...
Oh, okay. Different. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And shall we say something about this woman? I mean, physical appearance or costumes or... Remember that we have another woman.
Yeah, okay, so probably...
We're
running
out of time.
I know.
And do you also need to say that it's like daylight or something like that during the day? You also need to...
I think so.
But do you need to describe all of that before, or can we describe the for example, the location, the woman coming with the gun, and then they do the dialogue, and then we keep...
Yes, maybe, for example, as for, the physical appearance of a character, or costumes and stuff, or also the age, maybe we can put those elements when we have time to do that, even after.
Because also the viewer hasn't had... that much time to analyze.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
That
of course.
Is true. Great point.
Of course. We have to condense, we have to say everything, but not too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, we are not there to help blind people because they need our help to understand, because they can understand totally. So we just need to provide them with, the visual elements.
Mm-hmm.
So, where do, setting, first of all.
Yes.
And maybe day, night.
Yeah.
Mm. And a woman walking to, I don't know, what would you say?
Walking fast.
A woman in her 30s.
Yeah.
Walking fast with a gun in her hand.
Pointing a rifle.
Yeah, a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
A rifle.
Yeah.
Again.
I mean, it's a man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What? I'm looking for Beatrice Bouchon.
She's not here.
When will she be back?
I haven't the slightest notion.
Look, I don't mind waiting for her outside, but I do intend.
Do you think that we really need to say that we are outside?
No, I will just say bird.
At the beginning.
I will just say the birds too. Yeah.
We hear the birds, and he says outside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So remember that blind people and partially sighted people, they are not deaf. So they know that there are birds, they know that they sing, so they know that birds are normally outside, so we don't have to say we are outside.
Yeah, but it's a little bit strange because they get this information a little bit later in the scene, so they like.
But
maybe
we
they
can,
paint,
maybe but we can hear the birds at the very beginning, if
yeah,
I'm not wrong.
Maybe they paint this image in their head, then get information, and they have to repaint everything, to rethink.
Well, sometimes it does happen, but I think that in this case it's quite clear that we are outside from the very beginning, and plus they have, you know, they know that it's like that because we can listen to the main character saying, I can wait him up, her outside or something like that.
Should we say that his hands are in the air? Should we, because they can't see that?
What do you think?
I mean, it's good to know how he reacts to the gun pointed towards him.
Yeah? What do you think?
Yes, but I think the voice also shows how he's reacting.
No, it doesn't. Didn't think that the first time I just listened to it out.
But he doesn't really seem scared for me.
From
his voice, I thought he's scared.
So do you think that he has an aggressive attitude, that guy? Or maybe...
Defensive.
So shall we say...
Defensive attitude?
I don't think so.
Say that?
Probably. No, because that's an interpretation.
Is that an interpretation? Would that be an interpretation?
Yeah, we need. If so, we need to say how he has his hands.
But yes,
that,
why not?
But is that too much information?
Well, in that case, I think that we can hear, oh, if you remember.
Yeah.
So I think that this can compensate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sit yourself. She might not be there for hours.
I got nothing but time.
Yeah, it's not about this. Don't disturb anything.
Okay, what about here? Shall we say something like she...
She walks away.
Leaves, yeah. She lowers her gun and walks away.
She goes away or she walks away. Do you think that we need to say that?
No, we can hear that.
Let me go.
Otherwise, we don't know who walks away.
I think that it's better to say that she walks away.
Okay.
I mean, I can stay here forever, so you have to tell me.
Okay, that's okay. I have everything under control.
Okay, so you say stop, don't talk anymore. Okay. What about here? We have a lot of time. What would you describe here?
The setting.
What?
That he stands in the garden next to the chair and the table, walking around or something like that.
Well, so the table.
No, it's not that important.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the houses. I mean, I don't know if it's important later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks kind of abandoned. No, does it?
It's a shed.
I don't
even know.
Yeah, maybe we could say something about that.
We could already say something about the shower. No.
Mm-hmm.
The shower, that's kind of important.
Do you think that... I'm not sure if we can see the shower now.
Not yet. Isn't that woods?
Can we see...
No, that's true. He takes off his clothes. I think that's... Is that important to say?
Mm-hmm.
You can't hear what he's doing.
Yeah. No. The flowers are a bit of the colorness of the shot. Should we say them or should we not?
Well, I think that flowers there are not so important.
Yeah, okay.
But maybe the chairs, because he's putting
his jacket
on the chair. So if we want to say that, then before we have to say that there are some chairs somewhere.
Okay.
What about now?
Taking off his clothes.
Something. Someone came through a window.
But I think you should tell something about the camera being behind the window. No?
Yeah.
We can't say the camera is behind the window.
No, so then because it is perspective somewhere.
Because this is cinematic terms.
Yeah. Or looking from out the window.
So the who? First of all, the subject.
The girl, the woman. Yeah.
The girl. The girl or the woman?
Woman.
The woman.
The woman. So this means that before we used woman.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Do we know that it's the woman?
No.
Not yet, actually.
No,
but maybe we can, you know, her voice is quite, you know, similar to the first one.
I thought she said,
I thought it was a man. Mm-hmm. From the voice, it's too.
No, no. Maybe it's because of the sound, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's true.
It's from YouTube again. So.
Yeah, then we use a woman.
The woman is the subject.
Can we say that we are seeing from the woman's perspective?
We are seeing, we can't say we are seeing.
Yeah. Okay.
A woman is
first, I mean, it's third person narration, so the subject is doing what?
I say a woman is looking through the window. Or something like
that. The woman. So use the article the.
Okay.
Because
we would. Yeah.
It immediately refers to that woman, so we don't have another woman here.
Yeah.
It's the same. Mm?
Yeah.
Okay, so the woman
spies on him maybe because
spies. Okay,
but
interesting.
Spies a bit more subjective, like the mm-hmm.
maybe it is subjective. Subjective.
So, yeah.
So the woman. We have to pick a verb.
Looks. Is looking.
Looks outside or looks
through the window.
Looks at the man.
Because he is in the house.
So before we said the man is outside, the woman walks away. Okay. So if we say that the woman is looking at the man, we don't have to say is looking. She's looking. Sorry, outside, because we have already said that the man is outside, so that we can, you know, make it shorter. Meanwhile. The man, or shall we say something about him?
He's undressing.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking his shirt off.
Okay. What about here? We have a pause again from dialogue.
Yeah.
We can put something there.
The shower.
The woman comes again with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the towel.
Do you think that it's important to mention the shower?
No, because of the injury.
I actually think so, because the
well, power. If we have already said that,
oh, well,
then
he's taking off his clothes, and now we hear the sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think like without saying the shower, the water is the subjective. Like, where is that water coming from? I don't know if it's a shower, if it's not. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think in this case we have to be. We can use the word shower because otherwise water.
Yeah.
Think maybe about I don't know. River or a lake or something
like that.
Exactly.
Mm?
Yeah.
And?
The gun is back.
The gun is back. The woman with the gun is back.
Points, towards his back.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. This is fundamental, the fact that we is on his back. Mm?
Yeah, that is true.
Mm?
Okay.
Yes.
Procurator.
So let me skip to.
Wait, please. You wouldn't want it to go on by accident.
The what? I said stay back.
Why am I warning you? Why don't you just give me.
What about the final scene? How would you describe it? And when would you describe it?
After the sound, right?
After the sound, of course.
Yes.
Yes. Otherwise, it's a big spoiler.
But you should say that he puts his hand over the rifle.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what we think first. That mm-hmm. she shoots him, but it's another one.
But it's another one. It's another woman.
And then do you say another woman appears, or do you say a woman appears?
Yeah. A woman appears.
And you describe.
And you describe her. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Can I stop?
Can I actually make a question?
Yes, I mean, I'm here.
Is there any film that it was made to be like audio descriptive? So the audio description doesn't come after it? You know, for example, in this film we have the film first and then there's an audio description. Is there any film that was actually made for blind people?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have time to talk about that now, but we have something which is called accessible filmmaking.
Yeah.
Where accessible services are developed, created from the very beginning, during the production phase.
Okay.
Audio description, but also subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing, everything.
Okay.
If you want to have a look, I'm going to just, well, we don't
if
have time to do
that. If you want
to
send me anything, I can send them to you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yes, I'm going to share the title mm-hmm. of the book Accessible Filmmaking by Pablo Romero Fresco, who is an academic but also a film director. And he's the big expert about that.
Okay.
Accessible filmmaking.
Yeah, we had also some quotes from Romero Fresco on the other session
today. Yeah,
if you remember
yeah.
that it was always written his name under the quotation that Annalisa put on his slides. I have also Annalisa's slides that I'm going to share with you.
That would be a dream, I mean, for us, especially as audio describers, you know, to know that everything has been developed at the very beginning with audio description in mind already, because for us it would be super easy.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we have to, you know, find the poses and the spots to put our descriptions. Yeah. But if everything is ready from the very beginning,
wow,
it would be super. Yeah.
And do you have this scene with audio description?
No, I don't have that. And I can share anything. So.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, if you have questions for
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.